Good morning, and welcome to worship at St. John's in Sydney, Ohio. Here we are at the fourth Sunday of Easter. A few announcements. This morning, we had the graveside service for Ruth Koch, who passed away out at Dorothy Love Friday. The family is planning a memorial service later in the summer or early fall. You'll find this service both on Facebook and on YouTube. The link to the YouTube you'll find on the website also. I'm sending out the appeal again. I got some this week, but I'd like to get graduation pictures so that on the 17th, we will have a graduation recognition, and I will insert those pictures into the software, and you can all can see those too. Confirmation kids, I'm looking for pictures of you too. We will not have the confirmation service as you know it, but I'm trying to plan one that we can do somehow remotely. For everybody, on the back page of your bulletin, you will find a coloring picture. I haven't done much for the kids once we've been worshiping separately, so I'm going to start including these in the bulletin so you can print them off and have fun with the coloring picture. Let's begin our worship with a brief confession and forgiveness. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, but what we've done and by what we've left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. May receiving the forgiveness of God bring the peace of Christ into your hearts. Also to you.
Shadow of death, your perfect love is casting out fear. And even when I'm caught in the middle of the storms of this life, I won't turn back. I know you are near, and I will fear no evil, for my God is with me. And if my God is with shall I fear? Whom then shall I fear? Oh no, you never let go through the calm and through the storm. Oh no, you never let go in every high and every low. Oh no, you never let go, Lord, you never let go of me. And I can see a light that is coming for the heart that holds on, a glorious light beyond all compare. There will be an end to these troubles, but until that day comes, we'll live to know you here on the earth. And I will fear no evil, for my God is with me. And if my God is with shall I fear? Whom then shall I fear? Oh no, you never let go through the calm and through the storm. Oh no, you never let go in every high and every low. Oh no, you never let go, Lord, you never let go of me. Yes, I can see a light that is coming for the heart that holds on, and there will be an end
to these troubles, but until that day comes, still I will praise you, still I will praise you. Yes, I can see a light that is coming for the heart that holds on. And there will be an end to these troubles, but until that day comes, still I will praise you, still I will praise you. Oh, oh, oh no, you never let go through the calm and through the storm. Oh no, you never let go in every high and every low. Oh no, never let go, Lord, you never let go of me.
Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. O God, our shepherd, you know your sheep by name and lead us to safety through the valleys of death. Guide us by your voice that we may walk in certainty and security to the joyous feast prepared in your house. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The first lesson is from the second chapter of Acts, beginning with the 42nd verse. The baptized devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Awe came upon everyone, because many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need. Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second lesson is from the second chapter of 1 Peter, beginning with the 19th verse. It is a credit to you if, being aware of God, you endure pain while suffering unjustly. If you endure when you are beaten for doing wrong, what credit is that? But if you endure when you do right and suffer for it, you have God's approval. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When he was abused, he did not return abuse. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but he entrusted himself to the one who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that, free from sins, we might live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, for you were going astray like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please rise for the gospel. The Holy Gospel according to John, the 10th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said, "Very truly I tell you, anyone does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he's brought them all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers." Jesus uses this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So again, Jesus said to them, "Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they might have life and have it abundantly." The gospel of our Lord.
Praise you, Christ.
May be seated. Well, here we are, the fourth Sunday of Easter, which means we're halfway to Pentecost. It's been 21 days since Jesus emerged from the tomb. Then he continued to walk the earth for 40 more days before he ascended to God the Father. That would be May 21st, if you're counting. Before ascending, he told the disciples to wait in Jerusalem until they received the Holy Spirit. Yeah, back then, they were told to wait and stay in Jerusalem, confined into their space. 10 days later, the Holy Spirit descended on them as they gathered with tongues on fire that day. We call it Pentecost. This year, it'll be May 31st. During these 40 days, Jesus was acting as the Good Shepherd, trying to keep his sheep together as one community. They were so shocked by his crucifixion that some of them were beginning to scatter. And Jesus was kept really busy forming a flock, beginning with 12 disciples, which then became 11, and then growing this group into a whole community of followers. He was gathering them, building up relationship between the sheep and the shepherd. That's where we're at today. Pastors are trying to keep their flock together, while the sheep that are not allowed to come together during this time, they're wandering off. It's very important that we continue to work on our relationships to Jesus. When our worship life has been turned on its heels, there's a risk that the story of Jesus becomes less prominent in our daily lives. It's well known that when anyone stops doing a particular task for a period of time, the new normal becomes not doing it. And going back is sometimes very difficult. And that's where we're at now. This day, worship is being done with you on your couch in your jammies drinking your coffee. And the longer we need to wait and worship in this way, the easier it becomes to let this be your new normal. I don't know, I may just say, okay, wear your jammies to church, and then we'll get people to come back. If you're coming to worship as a community in this place, is this your normal? And then missing it runs the risk of you really liking your coffee and your couch. And that's exactly why I wanted this online worship to be done from this room and not from my dining room. I wanted it to be as much like as if you were sitting out there in this pews as we could possibly make it. This is your normal. The image of the shepherd has long been a symbol of leadership and has strong roots in the Bible. It was also a familiar metaphor in Greco-Roman literature. God is depicted as the shepherd of Israel in a number of Old Testament passages. And perhaps the most memorably, of course, is our 23rd Psalm, where there is a note of intimacy and protection. In Psalm 23, we read that God is our shepherd who cares for us and leads us through the valley of the shadow of death. In biblical times, it was probably foreign armies that occupied this valley of the shadow of death. In 2020, there is this little tiny virus that is causing death in our midst. We are living in the valley of the shadow of death, whether we want to admit it or not. Jesus has called upon all of us to be shepherds. We're called to care for all of God's sheep. So you might ask, well, so what if we don't? If we turn to Ezekiel 34, it gives us God's perspective on this situation. This passage invokes the notion of God as shepherd of Israel and portrays the people as sheep who are to be led and protected. God sharply critiques the leaders who fail to be good shepherds. Thus says the Lord God, "Ah, you shepherds of Israel, who've been feeding yourselves, should not your shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with the wool, you slaughter the fatlings, but you do not feed the sheep. You have not slaughtered, you have not strengthened the weak, you've not healed the sick, you've not bound up the injured, you've not brought back the strayed, you have not sought the lost, but with force and harshness you've judged them." So they were scattered, and because there was no shepherd, and they scattered even further, they became food for all the wild animals. The sheep wandered all over the mountains and to every high hill. "My sheep were scattered all over the face of the earth, and no one to search or seek for them." Now, Ezekiel later says God is not willing to remain at a distance from us. He will take care of his sheep, even when we do not. Jesus tells us in today's lesson that he's the gate. "No one comes to the Father except by me." We can look at this image of a gate in two ways. Is Jesus a gate to keep people out, or is Jesus a gate to keep people in? Well, I think it's both. Jesus was always about bringing people into the kingdom of God, so he's not about going to be keeping anyone out who truly wants to come in from the outside. Jesus wants us to go to the world, for us to go looking for the lost sheep. Therefore, he will not keep us in the fold, but turn us out to the world to do his bidding. The good shepherd is the gate to protect us and keep out those who would do us harm, the thieves and the bandits, as Jesus called them. We are safe in the fold. The gate provides an entry point. It's kind of like the gates in the entrance to a stadium or a ballpark. They show the people where to gain access, but you're not getting in without a ticket. Jesus is our entry into the fold. So I guess you could say Jesus is our ticket. For those inside the fold, the gate helps us find a way to go into the world to spread Jesus' message. I think with all that's going on in our world now, it's time for some good news. We hear this lesson that the mission of Jesus is, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Abundant life. He meant not just getting by, but flourishing. Not just eking out existence, but thriving. Not just prolong one's existence, but living your life to the fullest. Abundant life. What a promise. But what does that really mean? It doesn't mean things. What was Jesus telling us when he made that statement? First, he proclaimed that he was the gate, inviting sheep into the protection of the sheepfold, and then granting them access to the green pastures. It was him telling us, I will feed my sheep. Jesus is the one who offers life and seeks the good of his sheep. Jesus contrasts his willingness to lay his life down for the sheep with that of the hired hand who runs from danger. Jesus took great pains to promise that he is the good shepherd, that he will provide protection and sustenance, that he will lay down his life for his charges. The people in the first century and us today need to hear that we are not believing and suffering in vain, and that we will not just get through these difficulties, but we will experience life and joy to the fullest. That is Jesus' promise to the disciples then and to us now. And at times, with all that's going on in our world, it seems like that's not happening. Jesus' promise comes in two halves. The first half is the grounding and foundational half. In addition to the constant assurance that he's the good shepherd, Jesus also repeats regularly his confidence that the sheep will not follow anyone but their shepherd. The sheep know the shepherd's voice. The sheep will not listen to thieves and bandits and will run from strangers. I have to wonder then about those who choose to follow the words instead of the words of Jesus. And it's part of that where we fall down by not presenting the word of Jesus enough and inviting people into our fold that they hear his voice in the words of scriptures. We need to pray that those who are outside hear Jesus' words and return to him. Now, from what I know about sheep, that's a lot of confidence to put in sheep. They're not the brightest animals on the planet. Jesus' confidence is placed less in the innate ability of the sheep to detect danger as it is in the relationship between sheep and the shepherd. Jesus not only tells us that he's the good shepherd, he also reminds the sheep that they know him, that they've trusted him, and they will continue to trust him, that when they will be able to tell the difference between false hope and real hope, that they'll detect a genuine offer of abundant life, and all the counterfeits being peddled to us today will be that, counterfeits. He promises not only to lead us, but also that we will follow his voice. This is the second half of the promise. Both then and now, you will know me. You will follow me. You will receive and revel in the gift of life I offer. This is the answer to the question that some people ask. When Jesus returns, will I know him? Will I know that's who it is? And then will I follow him? Remember, the other half of this, Jesus knows you, and he knows your voice too. If we remember back to Easter morning, when Mary Magdalene came away from the tomb, she saw him there and did not recognize him until he spoke her name. I believe that when I'm people at care centers or homes and they're about to pass away, they hear Jesus calling their name. They look up, they get this smile on their face, and they breathe their last. Now, some proclaim that this confidence in Jesus is misplaced. So Jesus' disciples, both then and now, have a history of falling away from him and then abandoning the way of discipleship when things get hard. Or, the other way, slipping into dangerous triumphalism when things are really going well. This is less about the sheep's innate acquired abilities. It's far more about the confidence and the relationship that's forged between the shepherd and the sheep. This is Jesus' version, I think, of, you got this, as he assures us of our place with him, rooted in this affirmation, I got you. And it feels like an important word as Jesus makes a promise both about what he's doing for us, that is protecting, providing, caring, sacrificing, and giving life. But it's also a promise about how we will respond, trusting him, listening, embracing, thriving. I suspect it came as good news to a community then adrift, afraid, and unsure about their future back in the first century. And I believe it will come as good news to the communities that we shepherd who are adrift, afraid, and unsure about the future in the 21st century. This second half of Jesus' promise feels particularly valuable to us now. I suspect that many of our flock are tired, doubting whether they can endure through this, wondering how in the world they'll continue living in what feels like crisis mode for the long haul. So perhaps this is a great time to say, Jesus has us, followed quickly by, we'll get through together with him. As Jesus is telling us, I got your back, I will stand at your side, and I will lead you into the future. And from our second lesson today that Dan read, Paul wrote, if God is for us, who can be against us? And he goes on to list a lot of potential candidates, peril, famine, violence, and more. And today I'd like to add to this list, disease, pandemic, quarantine, isolation. All this in order to ask, will any of these things defeat us by separating us from God's love? Paul gives us that answer too. No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through the one who always loves us. So I say to each one of you, yes, you all are more than conquerors. Believe God is in it for us. And yes, Jesus has got your back. Amen. Let's profess our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made. Of one being with the Father, through him all things were made, for us and our salvation. He came down from heaven and was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Holy Father, we're uplifted by your promises of hope, healing, and resurrection. Now we offer these prayers for all of God's people. Creating God, we give thanks to you for those who maintain and operate farm equipment, for those who plant and harvest crops, for those who raise livestock for our tables. Protect them from harm. Strengthen their hands as they work to feed the world. Lord, in your mercy, guiding God, no one should be in want. As we are exiled to our homes, we have taken from us the ability to earn a living wage and to obtain food for our families. We ask you for what we need. You have bid the nations to return to your paths of righteousness. Lead now this nation back to you. Inspire our leaders to walk in your ways so that all may have the opportunity to live abundantly and sustainably. Lord, in your mercy, comforting God, you carry us tenderly. We pray for those who do not realize that you are walking with them through the dark valleys of their lives. Many are overshadowed by anxiety and overwhelmed with suffering. Give us the words to show them that you are with them in their life's journey. Lord, in your mercy, nurturing God, we are your hands to feed the hungry. Bless the work of food pantries and feeding ministries that are needed now more than ever during this time of our exile. Show us who are the least of these that we might be for them your presence in their lives. Lord, in your mercy, everlasting God, some of us had heard your voice. You have called us by name and guided us to your side. We thank you for the lives of the faithful witnesses. Let us see hope in the lives that they led as we know that they are now in your presence. Lord, in your mercy, with bold confidence in your love, Almighty God, we place all for whom we pray into your eternal care through Christ our Lord. Amen. As we've been brought together by the Holy Spirit, let's pray as our Lord taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. A reminder that during this time that we're not meeting in this building, the expenses go on. Please, please, send your offering in the mail so that it can be processed and we can keep this ministry going strong. Let us pray. Blessed are you, O God, ruler of heaven and earth. Day by day you shower us with blessings. As you have raised us to new life in Christ, give us glad and generous hearts, ready to praise you and to respond to those in need. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. And now may Jesus Christ, our Good Shepherd, guide you each day, protecting you, loving you, and welcoming you into his fold. Amen. Rejoice in the risen Christ. Take his message of hope to all you can. Go in peace and deliver the gospel. Thanks be to God.
You've been listening to St. John's Lutheran Church, 120 West Water Street, Sydney, Ohio. May God's glory abide with us today. May the love of God be increased within us and extended towards our fellow worshipers. Welcome, children of God. We invite you to return and worship with us again.
Joy is the theme of my song and the beat of my heart, and that joy is found in you. Showed the power of your cross and your grace-saving love, and my soul woke up to you. I heard your beautiful news, grace so amazing, so true. Shout it out, let the people sing. Something so powerful should shake the whole wide world. Make it louder still. Savior, we're singing now to celebrate your beautiful news. Joy is the theme of my song and the beat of my heart, and that joy is found in you. For you showed the power of your cross and your grace-saving love, and my soul woke up to you. I heard your beautiful news, grace so amazing, so true. Shout it out, let the people sing. Something so powerful should shake the whole wide world. Make it louder still. Savior, we're singing now to celebrate your beautiful news. Shout it out, let the people sing. Something so powerful should shake the whole wide world. Make it louder still. Savior, we're singing now to celebrate your beautiful news. There's a God who came down to save. Showed the world his amazing grace. There's a God who came down to save. Sing. Something so powerful should shake the whole wide world.
Shake the whole wide world.
Shake the whole wide world. Shake the whole wide world. Shout it out, let the people sing. Something so powerful should shake the whole wide world. Make it louder still. Savior, we're singing now to celebrate your beautiful news. Celebrate.
beautiful